I want to ask you this morning about junk food. I think you know what I'm talking about when I talk about junk food. It's the kind of food that's really fun to eat, junk food. And I'd like to hear, I just even want to ask you guys what some of your favorite junk food is. Like, what's on the top of your favorite junk food list? Does anybody know right off the bat? Like, I hear McDonald's, that's a good one. Taco Bell. How about you? Hand raised. Hawaiian shirt. Wait. I can't hear. What you said? What? Wow. That sounds very specific. All right. What's good about it? Is it just what's on it, or everything's on it? Yeah, everything's good. Okay. Anything else? Any other kind of junk food that someone's like, this is on the top? In-N-Out. Yeah. Ooh. Ian says Flamin' Hot Ruffles. All right. How about up here? What's yours? BJ's Steakhouse. Anything like Pizookie? Yeah. Anything from BJ's? Yeah, I think we all know about junk food, and everyone probably has at least something that's not good for you, a junk food that they like. The list is long of people's favorite junk food. I just made a little list. I have Oreos, buttery with extra butter, popcorn. All types of candy, ice cream, any fast food, especially Taco Bell, donuts, cake, pie, cotton candy, anything with lots of sugar. When it comes to junk food, the list could really go on and be endless. But I think there comes a point when you're growing up, when you're no longer a little kid anymore, that most of you by now have hopefully figured out, I think most of you, that it's not a good idea to have junk food all the time. I think sometimes little kids think that, but there comes a point when you realize, I can't be eating this all the time. I can't have only Oreos all day. You didn't know when you were a little kid growing up, but now you know, like, it's probably a really bad idea to only eat Pringles and Oreos all day, as good as they are. There comes a point in your life when you're growing up when you realize that you need more and you need something better for you than just junk food all day. And there comes a point when you need to eat food that really helps make you feel good, food that makes you feel and actually be healthy. You need a food that makes you feel good, food that helps you be able to grow and be able to become someone who is strong and healthy. And as your mom might put it, you need real food. You need food like fruits and veggies and vitamins and minerals and good stuff. You need water and not just like Dr. Pepper all the time. You need good nutrition. You need something that's different than junk food. And that's where I think these verses kind of point us to this morning, that we need nutrition. We need some good food. We need some real food. And I'm not talking about physically, like what we eat, but I'm talking about spiritually. There's some clear instruction in God's word for anyone who listens that can help it make you somebody who is healthy and becoming strong and standing firm spiritually. When we think spiritually about our souls and our hearts, about our relationship with God, who you are on the inside that shows up on the outside. When you think spiritually, God has some incredible wisdom for you about how to be healthy. God shows us here, even in these verses this morning, what's some real food that you need to help make you healthy spiritually, a spiritually healthy, strong, and growing Christian. And the truth is that there's a lot of people who are not spiritually healthy. There are a lot of middle schoolers who are spiritually unhealthy. In fact, one group of people, on the one hand, the Bible tells us that there's some people who are lost in their sin. There's some people that the Bible speaks of as spiritually sick and even spiritually dead. People who are in desperate need of a physician, somebody to heal them and make them spiritually healthy. There's people who are spiritually dead. They're people who are unsaved, and the Bible says a lot about them, that they're enemies of God because of their sin, and that they're because of their sin, they will face God's judgment, God's punishment because of sin. They're under God's judgment, and they're in a very spiritually dangerous and deadly spot. They need to be saved from their sins, which can only happen through Jesus. And then the Bible also speaks about one other group of people, and this is people who have been saved by Jesus, people who have turned and are believing in Jesus, away from their sins to Jesus, and they've been saved by him. Acts 16:31, it says that whoever believes in the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. And that's these people. They've been saved from their spiritual sickness, and they've trusted in Jesus' work on the cross, that he died and that he was buried and that he rose again, and now those people are his. And I know that some of you here this morning, that you've become spiritually alive. You're Christians, and you're now headed on the road to heaven. You're headed on the road to be with Christ forever. And some of you, that's a very new thing. You've just placed your trust in Christ, and now you're saved. And so we need to know, if that's you, how you can be somebody who becomes more and more spiritually healthy. Even now, if you're a true Christian, a believer in Jesus, if you've been brought into that right relationship with God, you're faced with so many things around you that could still make you spiritually unhealthy, spiritually sick. There are things all around you all the time, every day, that can keep you back from growing and from becoming the person that God wants you to be, the person that you want to be, because you know that's who God wants you to be. So if you're a Christian, if you're a new Christian, or even if you've been a Christian for a long time, God gives us some real food, some spiritual wisdom that helps us know how we can become spiritually healthy and strong and growing as a Christian. How does that happen? What does God say we can do in order to grow and to become strong as a believer in Christ? Well, it is possible with God's help, and these verses here in Philippians 4 are really a great place to start. A great place to begin to think about what we need in order to become more and more healthy in our walk with Christ and be spiritually strong and growing in order to be more of who God wants us to be. And that's what we see here in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. I want to give you a big idea this morning, that God shows you as a Christian what you need in order to be growing and be growing into the person he wants you to be. God shows me what I need in order to be the growing Christian that he wants me to be. And here we really get some simple, basic, helpful, maybe even familiar reminders for you as a Christian that can help you grow strong and healthy in your walk with Christ. Let's read from Philippians 4, and we'll start in verse 8. God's word says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." This is such a good passage for you if you're a believer. Something that starts to become even more and more important the longer you're a Christian. You need some wisdom from God about how to grow and become a more stable and strong and healthy Christian. To not just be fed on junk food, but on real food that can help you be all that God wants you to be. And what do we need in order to be a healthy Christian according to God's word here in Philippians 4? Well, first, number one, these verses teach us that we need to think about what is good. If I'm a Christian, I need to think about what is good. Here's the first of Paul's two directions for Christians. If you want to be a more healthy, spiritually healthy Christian, you need to think on the things that are good. Verse 8 again says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Paul was writing this letter originally to a group of Christians that were far away, and they were off in this city called Philippi, and he wrote this letter with some great reminders about how amazing it is to be a Christian. Paul's been reminding his Christian friends that God has started a good work in their lives, and God is going to bring that good work to completion one day in the future. He's been reminding them about how they're now citizens of heaven. They've been saved from sin and from all the consequences that sin brings forever one day, from God's judgment, and now they get to be with Christ forever and have a life that's redeemed. They get to have a life that's filled with joy knowing Jesus Christ as their Savior. This letter's been showing us about the good news of Christ, that we can be saved by faith in Jesus apart from doing any works on our own, apart from keeping some set of rules given to us even in the Bible. Salvation can come only through what Jesus has done. And this letter has been showing us that because of this, there's no deeper joy than knowing Jesus Christ. Being rescued from a life that's lost in sin, a life that's just focused on self, a life that's hopeless. God is now at work and changing those people and working in your life to make you all that he wants you to be for his good pleasure. But now these Christians here that Paul was writing to had been shaken by different things that were going on around them, by trouble and by difficult trials and even some threats of becoming worried and anxious. They were even, some of them, stuck in some sin, even as Christians. So these Christians needed some reminders about how they could be headed in the right direction and on the right track and facing the right way to become all that God wants them to be. And here Paul says a huge part of how that can happen for his friends here in this church, how that can happen for any Christian, is by setting our minds on and thinking about what is good. And he gives here this list of really kind of 8 keys to good thinking. And here's what we should be thinking about as believers in Jesus to help us grow strong. He says, first, we should be thinking on, in verse 8, there are things that are true. That means, first and foremost, what God has said. God is perfect, and he is perfectly always true. Everything that God has said is exactly how things are. God says what is true. John 17:17 says that God's word is truth. Your word is truth. We are to be people who meditate and think on what God has said and on everything that goes with what God has said. Everything that's true needs to be filling our minds. Paul also says there in verse 8 that second, we should be thinking about what's honorable. That means things that are noble and worthy of respect. Then also he says we're to think about what is right. That means things that are righteous. And then things that are pure, number 4 on this list. By saying pure, Paul means, or he's thinking of things that are set apart from anything that's sinful and anything that's unclean. Christians should also be thinking about what's lovely, things that are positive and pleasant. And then number six on this list, he says things that are of good repute, things that are commendable, and things that people would speak highly about because they're good. And all of that's summed up with Paul saying these last two things, anything that's excellent and anything that's worthy of praise. That's what it would look like for someone to be thinking on what's good, to be dwelling on what's good. When the command is to think about there in verse 8, to think, some people say that this is sort of like how you would think about a math problem. You guys know what it's like to do a math test. Unfortunately, you know. Who loves math? Raise your hand if you love math. Yeah, I don't understand you, but I think that's great for you. Math's not my favorite. No offense. Who's with me? That math is, yeah, we get it. But these verses here, when they talk about thinking on, are sort of like the way that you think about a math problem. Like when you're working on an algebra test. What do you do when you're trying to solve a problem in an algebra test? You're thinking carefully. You're thinking deeply. You're thinking with all your effort before the clock runs out and you need to turn that test in. You're giving it all of your focus in order to get that answer right. And that's sort of what Paul's saying there when he talks about dwelling on things and thinking on things. It's talking about being focused and carefully and deeply thinking on things with all of our effort. It should be that we have our focus totally on these kinds of things if we call ourselves Christians. What might that look like in the life of a Christian? What might that look like in the life of a middle schooler if you're a believer in Jesus? Well, there's the obvious side. It means that you're careful not to allow things into your thinking that go against what Paul says here. You don't put yourself in a place or places where you think about or dwell on things that are untrue or dishonorable or wrong or unlovely or impure or not excellent. Maybe you know that there are some things that you need to change in your life in this area, even as a Christian. Today's the day that you need to do that if you're a Christian. But then it also means more than that, that you start to develop some good habits in this area to fill your mind with good things. And one of the best ways to do that is to start meditating and dwelling on and thinking on the Bible, on thinking on God's word and on other things that point you to the Bible and what's true. I think if I could go back and talk to junior high me, if I could talk even to you, just some advice, some wisdom, you need to make the Bible part of what you're taking in on a daily basis and what you're thinking about and considering every day. You need to make sure you start to give yourself some time, even every day, to read and to work, to understand and to respond to the Bible if you are a Christian. And that's not in order to earn yourself a good standing with God. We know we can't earn our salvation. We know that Jesus has already earned it completely, perfectly through his work, and there's no way that you could ever earn that place with him. But we want to have God's word in our life so that it renews our mind, so that we're changed from the inside out, and we start thinking the way that God thinks, thinking the way that God wants us to be thinking. We need to start building the Bible into our lives and into your life at the beginning of the day, or maybe it's just at the end of the day. And it doesn't have to be 2 hours. I'm not talking about that, but just to have it part of your routine, that you're thinking about God's word, thinking on it, listening to it, and responding to it, obeying what it says and talking to God about what you hear. Listen to what Psalm 19 says about God's word and what it can do in our life. says, "The law of the Lord is perfect. It revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward." That's a great thing for you to learn now as a Christian in middle school. That God's word is what God has given you to change your life, to change you from the inside out, and to fill your life with joy and to rescue you from sorrow. Again, Psalm 19 saying that in keeping God's word, there is great reward. And it's more desirable than gold or anything this world could ever offer us, to know God's word and to obey it, to understand it. That's what God wants for your life, to be thinking on things that are good. So what do we need to be spiritually healthy Christians? Well, these verses are teaching us, think about what is good. And number two, there's one other very simple and very straightforward instruction, and that's to follow the right examples. Think about what is good and follow the right examples. Look again at verse 9. Paul says, "The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." That is so great. The Philippians saw people. They had people around them, even someone like Paul, living out a life that's been changed by God and showing them how wonderful and amazing it is to do what verse 8 and what everything before this in Philippians has been saying. Paul's been giving them instruction to learn and receive, verse 9 says. They'd had Paul, who was lovingly teaching them and helping them to understand how they could grow and become a healthier Christian. They had someone telling them what they needed to hear, showing them, guiding them to what is true, guiding them to wisdom from God's word. I wonder if you can think about or even just identify some people in your life, in your head right now, some people that do that for you, who are showing you what you need to learn and receive from God's word. What a blessing that God gives us people like that in the church, in our lives as Christians, other brothers and sisters in Christ, other older Christians, pastors and teachers. God is so kind to give us people who teach us what we need to learn from God's word. But then verse 9 also goes on to say that the Philippians had heard and seen in Paul what he had taught. Paul didn't just teach these things. Paul lived out these things. He lived in a way that verse 8 talks about, where his mind was set on what is good. And he lived in such a way like all that Philippians has been talking about up to this point. Paul lived a life that set a pattern that was worth following. I wonder if you can also think about and identify some people in your life like that. I know you have people around you who live out what it's like to follow God's word well, not just with what it says, but living out in obedience what it calls them to do. We can look around and see people around us all the time here at this church, people who are a lot older, who live in such joy, who have found the joy of walking with Jesus for a long time. We need to look at their example, to look at the outcome of their faith and to follow their faith. God wants you to follow and to practice what you see in faithful older Christians around them. I like how Paul says, practice there in verse 9. You guys know what practice is all about. Some of you guys go to soccer practice or whatever sport you're playing, and you come down here on a Wednesday, and you know, you see Trishawn, and he's like, "Hey, what'd you do today?" And you said, "Oh, I just came from practice." We know what practice is about, and it means that you're doing something over and over and over and over and over again. You're learning and you're repeating and you're giving effort at something in order to get better at it. And that's what God wants for you as a Christian. God wants you to practice, to be learning and repeating and giving effort over and over at following the example of older Christians in your life. If you're a Christian here, God shows you how you can be stronger and more stable, a growing Christian that he wants you to be, to follow these right people and right examples. And that's a great encouragement for you this morning as a Christian, to follow the right people, to make sure that you're around and being influenced by people that strengthen your walk with Christ, that you take some time to do some inventory, maybe today or this week, to think about who you're looking up to and what and who you're following and listening to and modeling your life after and becoming more and more like. If you're a Christian here and you know there might be some people that you need to get away from, that you need to flee and even just choose to block out some of those influences that are dragging you away from Christ, that are making you spiritually unhealthy. Paul says back in Philippians 3:19 that there are people who are enemies of the cross of Christ, and we need to remember that their end is destruction. We need to turn away from people who would draw us away from Christ, who is our Savior, and who wants only what's best and good for you. We need to listen and follow and practice what you see in the godly people around you. And I think that could start first and foremost with your parents, especially if they're believers in Christ. Proverbs 6:20 says this, "My son," you could say "my daughter," "my son, my daughter, keep your father's commandments and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck." We need to have what our parents are encouraging us towards, God's word, what our parents are instructing us and teaching us around us in order to be more spiritually strong. God's given you such a gift in your parents. We also need to listen and ask questions and watch the examples of Christians in your life as they follow Jesus and to think about where that kind of life leads, and to start and to keep on practicing what you see. And verse 9 ends by saying, the peace of God will be with you. This is how the God of peace will be with you. It's for Christians who are thinking this kind of way and Christians who are following this kind of example. And here, again, these are not very complicated verses, but I think they're so important for you to remember, even if you think they feel a little familiar. Because we need real food if we want to grow strong as Christians. We need to fill our lives with thinking on what is good and fill our life with following after the right examples. I think this is especially a great part of the Bible for you to just kind of park on and cling to and think about as you're walking with Jesus now as a middle schooler. If you're a Christian, this is a great verse, two verses to memorize, a great verse to get right now and to implement in your life and build patterns into your life even now. I love to think about how there's so many stories of Christians in church history, so many Christians for so long that have been used in incredible and powerful ways by God. They become great and strong Christians. And so much of the time you can hear in their stories that when they were 11, 12, 13, 14, these were the things that were filling their life, seeking to know more of God's word and seeking to follow after the right examples. And God can make you into a person like that too someday. He can make you into a great Christian who's used powerfully for his glory, for his kingdom, who he wants you to be, who you should want to be as a Christian. God can do that in your life. I think it starts with making sure these basics are here in your life, making sure you're thinking on what is good and that you're following after what is right. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, thank you that you are a good God, that you are a Savior, that you can rescue us from the domain of darkness and transfer us into the kingdom of Jesus. You can rescue us from sin and from a life broken and lost in sin that destroys, and you can bring us into a life of joy that lasts forever with you, Christ. I pray that every student here would know that joy in their own hearts, and that those that are walking with you as Christians, that they would obey these truths from your word that you call us to obey. Help them in that and help make them strong and powerfully use Christians for your glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.